PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is a familiar face. He's Gavin with ShotScope. Gav, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, so it's February here right now. We're obviously in the most relaxed part of the year for golfers, and you know, looking forward to busy season or what?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're absolutely slammed, and which is great. It's a weird element. I was looking at yesterday's round data. So we did over 5,000 rounds worldwide yesterday, and the weather here in the British Isles is poor. I know the weather in the US is not great in certain locations, and it just shows the sort of the scope of where ShotScope's got to, really, in that, you know, you can accrue those number of rounds at this time of year, and then it's just preparation for everything to come. And it's, yeah, there's no quiet time.
I like how you term that poor. I get a lot crankier when I talk about bad weather here in Ohio, but you know, I mean, you've always been very thoughtful in the way you present things. So.
I mean, it was horrendous here at lunchtime. I was going to take the dog for a walk, and I was like, even the dog was like, nah, I'm not going outside. That's not for me.
But you guys also do the PGA show, so you see a lot of different weather, or at least a couple versions of nice weather. Did you play any golf in Florida?
Technically, yes. I played two rounds of golf. The first game was more like hide and seek, and I wasn't very good at the seeking part.
Okay.
And then I played the next day, and it was I could find my golf ball. So that was, but we were over for a family holiday, and so the week before we were at Disney, and on the Friday night, I've got my daughter. We're watching the fireworks at Magic Kingdom. It was talking about your hopes and dreams. I'm like, well, I'm on the tee tomorrow at 8 a.m. This is going to just work brilliantly. Haven't played in 3 months. I'm going to shoot 66. And I was five off the tee. I'm just going, yeah, reality bit. So, I don't think I'm playing until April, but then scheduled with a bunch of rounds in April and May. So that should be good.
You know, you've played with a lot of THPers now, and most of them probably won't believe you saying you're five off a first tee anywhere.
Oh, so. It was. I had a ball count on the fifth tee. I was really concerned. And the guy that we played with from ShotScope's a sort of ex-teaching pro, and he sort of the seventh hole. He's like, yeah, that's probably the worst I've seen you play six holes, Gav. That was shocking.
That's very polite of him, too. Yeah.
Good
stuff. But how was the show? Was it fruitful for your group?
Tremendous. So, you know, for us, it's a real juggle before to work out what should we do at the following year, because we're growing year on year really quickly. So you're trying to work out, hey, how big should our booth be? So we did 400 square feet, which was our largest ever. We took seven people, should have taken nine. And it was, you could tell a week before, like the meetings were rolling in, we were slammed. And that talks to what, you know, what the team's achieved. People want to come and talk to us, but it's also quality of meetings. You know, you're sitting there with buyers, retail, media, and they want to come and spend 45 minutes on our booth, and they want to learn about what we do and what's coming. So really, really good. And when we started going, I was like, how are you going to do ROI? How are you going to feel that show's worth it? Because it's a huge expense. For those that haven't been and listening, you know, it's $100,000 a year, right? And it's time out of the company and the office for the team. And, you know, especially for us, it's a long travel. And walking away, I'm like, okay, well, I see the value. The value is there in spades for us. So, yeah, really, really enjoyed it.
So
and it was a break from Disney
and your own golf game, apparently.
Yeah.
So a lot of people wonder what the show's like and who it's geared toward, and I think that presents it fairly well. Tried to talk about it in the years past that I've been, that it's a way to connect retailers and golf courses and buyers to the product that they want to put on their shelves for their golfers and the people they're looking to help spend money. I'm fascinated with the idea that, like, how many of the people that get in there with you know anything about your product, or how many like actually do research before they get to you so they can understand it and then ask the right questions?
So you've, if you're talking about retailers or pros, you've got two types. So for instance, my first meeting was with the buyer from Golfbox. Golfbox, the largest retailer in Australia. So I don't go to Australia to see him. He doesn't come to Scotland to see me. So we spend an hour on the booth chatting through what's happened, what the plans are, how we can increase business, what the new products are. And he knows everything there is, right? So we've lots of meetings like that. We then have, if you take pros, like a 50-50 split of guys that have heard of us, know what we are, to guys that have never heard of ShotScope at all. And you know, we've got tentacles in everywhere, whether it's lasers, handhelds, GPS watches, whether it's data, improvement, ebooks. So people turn up with the ones that know us. It could be they read an ebook, or their friend sent them an ebook and was like, hey, read this. Like, oh, actually, you do hardware. So that's quite an interesting aspect. Unfortunately, I don't get to speak to many of them. But yeah, it's fascinating how that that knowledge of ShotScope increases year on year.
Yeah. Well, I think the hard part about the segment that you're in is there are so many not great versions of it that there's almost a need for a breakthrough and validation before you even really get started to say that, hey, we're not just your random go check us out on cheap seller market here and it'll work out fine if you buy one, maybe.
You've got a real mix and match of quality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And something that we've gone along and talked to a lot of retailers about is, hey, look, ShotScope is going to be the third brand in GPS and rangefinders. You've got Garmin, you've got Bushnell, and they say, well, why? You say, well, look, this is how we invest in marketing. This is how we take care of our users. This is our product bread. We invest in innovation. We build quality products. We support them. And that kind of resonates there because, as you say, you know, especially at retail, if a guy's got 20 slots in his tech bar, he doesn't want 10 different companies. It's a lot of work. So having that breadth of products really helped us grow. Oh, that's the dog. I don't know if that comes through.
Yeah, we got one mascot so far. That's perfect. I got two here, so don't worry about it.
He gets pretty angry at anybody that comes to the house, so it could get interesting.
Me too, yeah.
And so it's you know, it's that kind of pitch. And then additionally, we're second largest in the market in the UK. We've got a quarter of the market in the UK. So in America, you're having this discussion about, hey, we want to break in to be the third brand and we want to do this and here's the quality. And in the UK, you're like, it's a totally different discussion with different knowledge base of the company.
Mm. So it's got to be wild dealing with that because you're worldwide and you already mentioned, yep, Australia, all these different markets. Is it strange to go from one to another, especially in just basic discussion or even emails, having to sort of change your storyline a little bit to accommodate the level of comprehension that group has?
A little bit. Yeah, there's definitely an element of that. I mean, it's... Guys are like, hey, you know, what's the wholesale price in this? I'm like, well, what currency are you using? I've got 13 different currencies rolling around my head. What, you know? And it's, it's interesting. And it's trying to understand, you know, a lot of the time for us, it's how much do these people know about us? How, you know? And it's the same on our website or our retail listings with consumers. You know, how much does that consumer know about ShotScope and our products? How much do they not? And how do you show them why they should make that decision to buy a ShotScope product and also what that customer journey will look like for them and what they'll gain in benefits by choosing ShotScope? So it kind of rolls through everything we do, that kind of trying to work it out. And I'd like to say some of our guys are very good at asking the right questions to sort of understand, right, here's how I should talk about the company to this person.
Okay. Well, one of the things I've always appreciated, maybe it's a little bit different because we have things like the data experience where you go into crazy depth about it, but you seem as a group, as a company, to be deeply invested in the data you collect. And there's always that we've already on the call discussed previous to the call mentioning data collection from just yesterday as an example. So it's like, for me, it means that ShotScope is more than just a purchase. It's a purchase and then a connection and then an experience following that. Is there an intent with the company to have that feeling?
Yeah, and you know, underneath everything, we want golfers to play better golf, right? That's our reason for being. And no doubt the way to do that is by tracking and gaining data and understanding your game. But we also know, and we've had to learn this, that not every golfer wants to track, but every golfer wants to play a bit better golf. So even our guys that come in and buy rangefinders, we still want to try and show them, hey, look, here's some of the benefits. I can't show you your data, but I can show you generalized data and here's some thoughts and here's some ways to ask you questions as a golfer of how you can play better. And I think that comes across within the company. And obviously, look, THP with the data experience is a phenomenal window into ShotScope and how Jen and I act and how we can talk. And you sit there and I'm like, wow, I can go really deep here. You know? And you're like,
play to the crowd, Gav.
And it's a balance, right?
Yeah.
But ultimately, we want golfers to play better golf, and you know, that goes with if somebody's, hey, using a rangefinder, if somebody's, hey, look, I'm going to track every round and spend an hour on the dashboard looking at the data.
Mm.
Right. We you know, and I think that's really positive for the company because you show that as a company we care, and it comes through as spades with the customer support team, right?
Okay.
How they interact with golfers, how they interact with our users. You know, they want them to have the best experience, but also to gain the most out of the products.
So I think you mentioned an interesting component to that, and I'm unbelievably guilty of being terrified of data collection. And it's not because I'm a bad golfer. I'm decent enough. But my issue is that I prefer to hit a shot and then either and likely completely forget about it and continue on. And that's always been my stopping point to really start to get involved in data collection. So I know there are thousands of golfers out there who are like me, who have not really dipped their toe in. I mean, I've been worse than them because I've actually purchased and then not done anything with units. But what is it? What do you say to people like that who are genuinely just, I don't think afraid is the right word, concerned, skittish, about actually getting deep into data collection?
It's hard, right? So that's something that we've had to work with probably for 5 years, right? So if you look at what we did previously, we came up with performance tracking products that were watch-based. Now, reason for that, 75% of avid golfers in the UK wear watches to play golf. In the US, it's like 22. So when we started moving over to the US, all you hear is, I don't want to wear something on my wrist. Forget tracking. They're like, I don't want to wear something on the wrist. So the way we've combated that, and probably to a point your concern, is we've got multiple different ways to track your game. And they can be more or less intensive. I can't stop the element of you thinking about, hey, well, I want to hit a good shot because I want to track this and it's going to be recorded. I can't do anything about that. The flip of that is, if you know, if that's not you and you come within our ecosystem and you just say, hey, well, every golfer needs some type of distance device, you go, okay, well, look, maybe not tracking's not for you, Dan, but I tell you what, as a ShotScope user, whether it be in rangefinders, hey, we can show you some of this data and whet your appetite and show you exactly how collection works and show you some of the benefits of that. And you can probably reap insights from that as just being part of our ecosystem.
Okay.
But it's hard, right? And we're constantly having discussions in the office of like, how do we improve stuff, right? Because our collection methods are pretty good. They're very varied, but they're pretty good. But you're relying on GPS. There's still some inaccuracies. There's the odd miss shot on automatic tracking. There's all of that. And you're like, well, it's hard. Like, it's hard to get all that data. I mean, mm-hmm. if you saw what we got rid of in a round, it's incredible. It's getting rid of the data, getting rid of the noise, right?
Sure.
So, yeah.
I think the biggest part for me, and hopefully this is an interesting conversation for people, because I'm not naysaying data collection. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's one of the most interesting things about golf right now is how untapped the data collection still kind of is. And I want to get back to it, but my biggest fear is that I went from being a very angry golfer when I was, you know, much younger, 10, 15 years ago, to a guy who can really just walk away from a bad shot. And I worry that if that bad shot I know is being kept and brought with me, it might be a little bit more challenging. I think it's worth another try. But, you know, I guess the end conversation, and THPers prove it for me every year as they talk through your product and the benefits they gain from it, is how much value you get on the after round, after 10 rounds, after 20 rounds,
yeah,
to better understand what has improved. So I know that was a lot to say, but I want to add another element to that, and you're welcome to talk about it, is do golfers really communicate with you the ways they're getting better by utilizing their data information, or the data that's being pulled for them?
I mean, we have case studies upon case studies that come in. And what's incredible, and we had this incident, and bizarrely it was with my dad, right? And he had one of my old tour drivers. It was like Ping Rapture with an X-Flex Diamana shaft. He used it for 10 years. He's like 60 odd. He hits it a good distance, but you're like, that's just ridiculous. So I got him custom fit. We got him a new driver. Didn't see him for like 2 months. I'm like, how's your golf game? He's like, my iron play is unbelievable. My handicap's come down 2 shots. My iron play is incredible, Gav. And I'm like, I'm going to have a look at this data. And I was like, okay. I phoned him back. I was like, do you know why your iron play is incredible? Because you're hitting it 22 yards further and hitting 14% more fairways. And he was like, I would never have thought about that. And you're like, it's just the data element is intertwined throughout the game of golf. It just goes hand in hand. And you're like, and it's going to keep going that way. Because you're right, it's the insights. And we pull out new features like My Strategy. So the guys, the data experience at Hidden Creek, Jen's already been on it. She can overlay her data onto Hidden Creek. So it's tree-lined golf course. She can see, hey, actually, I want to hit up the left side of the first because I'm going to run out on the right with my driver.
That's crazy.
Right, and you can do some incredible stuff now on the system.
So you're talking about taking all of your shots that you've hit, going to a new course you've never seen, and have intention, have preparation for something before you even get there.
Better than that, you can decide, hey, I'm not just going to look at all my shots. I'm going to look at the last 50 tee shots I hit. So it's current. And I can look at, hey, here's my tendencies. You can actually add in weather to see the effect. You can add in elevation on the tool. And it's just there. We released it in November. It's just there for guys to use.
When you say add in weather, what do you mean?
So you can go and stipulate, hey, what happens if the wind's 10 miles an hour out of the north?
Okay.
I've looked up the forecast. We looked at utilizing weather data automatically, but it's actually quite awkward. And you can, you know, some of the companies that do pull in weather into their calculations, it can be from a weather system or a weather, calculator from 80 miles away from the golf course. Mm. It's not accurate. So we allow the user to change that.
So when it comes to something like wind, I think wind has always been a conversation point to me, because I know the difference between hitting into and hitting with a 10 mile an hour wind with a 6 iron is a big number change. So when when you preset your round and talk to me like you would a retailer who's never met you before, what does that mean? Can you actually input the weather and the direction of the wind or anything like that before your round?
Yeah, you can. So in my strategy, you can run it through the exact conditions you think it will be that day you're going to go and play.
Okay.
You can change the tees. You can pull in your club data. You can do everything you want. So you get a real feel for what should you be doing. And for guys that are going to play going golf trips, brilliant tool.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm worried about the first tee shot. What I want to do? Well, I've got a clear picture of what I should do now. And again, that's just one way of using data. I think when you talk about weather effect, one of the most fascinating things I find is looking back at the overheads of a round that I've played. And I found this early on, you know, playing into a slight wind and I'm hitting 8 iron and it's going like 140. And you're like, okay, that's really interesting. I'm going to bank that knowledge there. It's amazing how short it can go into some wind.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's utilizing the data to just add in. And ShotScope's only really trying to get you make 2 or 3 better decisions around. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
And that'll save you 2 or 3 shots. You know, wow. We're not going to take you from 20 to scratch. It's not how it's going to work, but a couple of better decisions. Can I carry that water in that line? Can I not? Can I, I did a thing with pros, PGA pros down at the Belfry about a month ago, or actually just after the show. A guy put his hand up in the seminar. He's like, yeah, so I'm a user. I always thought I hit the ball to the right off the tee. I actually hit it to the left. And you're looking, you're like, you're a PGA pro. First of all, why would you say that in front of your peers?
Yeah, seriously, what?
But you're like, okay, well, if you are of that level, we can do so much to a handicap golfer. There's so much that we can help them with and so much gains there can be, right?
That's crazy. So. I want to add another element to this, and it's more all-encompassing for not sort of data collection, but pinpoint accuracy. This is the time of year here when you sneak out for a round in Ohio and it's like, okay, I'm going to go as fast as I can, pretend like it's not happening. And when I get out there, I'm going to be thrilled that I'm there. But that includes forgetting half the things you're supposed to take, like a rangefinder, for example. Yeah. So I got out there one of the rounds and I didn't have it. And it didn't feel like golf to me. I find that pinpoint accuracy from shot to shot makes golf so much more fun. So I'm starting to wonder if I'm missing out on that additional element, but I'd be curious to your thoughts on that as well. How much do you feel like the ShotScope concept unlocks golf and more of a golf experience for people?
So I personally, the way I work on distance is anything outside 170, I'm looking at front, middle, back. And anything inside 170, I'm lasering and finding out the exact distance. It's got to a point where effectively a distance device is as important as your driver. Like, it's hard enough to hit good shots, let alone when you hit a good shot, you hit a 9 iron from 160 and it falls in the water and you're like, oh, that was a great strike. Like, you just, golf's too hard to put yourself in that position.
Right.
And it's become the norm. And what we've seen increasingly is it's become more normal for golfers to carry multiple devices as well.
So multiple devices, I'll ask the most obvious question here. At what point does the rangefinder become the rangefinder and the GPS for every company? I mean, it exists with you for LX, and It seems like it's almost necessary at this point to have more than one feature.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to do that. Technically. I mean, we had some serious challenges dealing with that stuff, right?
Okay.
You know, GPS doesn't like big magnets. There's some big magnets in a rangefinder. I think there are elements of that. I think, you know, when you go and look at a GPS device, the easiest one's the watch. All day. It's easiest to use, right? But I think you probably will see some more hybrids, and it's about the user experience of those products, because it's so easy to bamboozle the golfer. You know, you're giving out so much information. Like, we see the guys that are showing greens and things like that, and I'm looking at them, I'm like, oh my god, you know, I'm just trying to hit the green. And I get a guy in America last year is like showing me the rangefinder, and I'm like, he's like, look at the slopes. I'm like, yeah, but from 180 yards, you just want to be on the green. Forget where it goes. So it's trying to just make it as simple. And at the end of the day, that technology has to positively affect your game and not slow the game down.
That's a big one, right? Not slow the game down.
That's where the watches are unbelievable. You know, and we've got additional features coming out. So we've got, this will be an exclusive. I don't know when this goes live, but we get asked a lot on the forum. So the X5 will get full course maps in less than 2 weeks.
Full course maps.
Full course maps.
Okay.
I'll say, because you'll find this interesting. There's a twist on it. So normally with full course maps, that's nothing unusual on GPS watches. Quite a few of them do it. But what we're going to do is take your distances that you've collected, and we can overlay your three longest clubs. So when you're standing on a tee, you'll be able to see, well, where would your driver go to? Where would your three wood go to? Where would your hybrid go to? And that's where it becomes really quite cool.
Yeah, that is insane, honestly. That is a wild feature. Is the whole goal of this episode to convince me, or what? What are we doing here?
I don't know. I feel like I can do that. I feel to do that as a byproduct.
That's crazy. So you get your three longest clubs, and then you pick one and hit to it. I assume the watch doesn't get mad at you if you make the wrong decision, but
no.
When you get to your next shot, what does it look like from there? Tell me what the user expects.
We don't give them anything other than tee shots at the moment.
Okay.
And the reason for that is you've gone out, you've collected 20 rounds of data. It says you hit your driver 302. Well, okay, you're standing in the first hole. You look on the course maps. Now you'll see where 302 will take you. And we'll show you performance average, not your average. So it's the best thing. I think you can actually choose longest on it as well if you want. And
so when it shows 302, does it also represent the distance to the hole from there?
Yes.
Okay.
So you're going to see, and then you're going to see, well, actually, if I hit 3 wood, that would go 255. And actually, look, that's not going to run into that water. I'll hit 3 wood. And it's just about trying to say, hey, you've gone and collected the data. Here's an advantage for you. You can get personalized information. You can make a better decision on that tee.
Wow. So I'll ask a follow-up question to that. If you're doing these rounds, these overlays of your data before you go to a place, can you set up a round to where you have the watch pick the shot for you before you get there?
That might come.
Okay.
So the challenge with that, and this is where the challenge with the second shots are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty comfortable on a tee. If you hit it 302 performance average, let's show you 302. A tee's flat, you've got ball in hand. You know, we've got enough data of yours to say we're really comfortable with that. Where you lose confidence is when we're standing there saying, hey, you've got 180, you should hit 5 iron. And we don't know that you're sitting on a slight upslope. We don't know that you've had 12 beers the night before. We don't know, right? And you're like, and suddenly you hit 5 iron, you hit what's a really good one, and it comes short in the water. And you've lost confidence in the product immediately. So with tee shots, and to be honest, when we look at a lot of data, it's like, hey, common thinking would be by showing them those clubs and those distances, we're going to get people hitting driver less. Actually, we're hoping it'll be the opposite. We'll get more people to hit driver because they're going to understand, I won't reach that trouble. I should be more aggressive off the tee. Mm-hmm. It's a bigger club head. I hit it further, right? We think that initially that will provide more benefit than confusing them with other stuff. We may get there, right? Okay. And that's one of the great things we've got within the team is guys just build upon different bits of tech. But that tee shots element's pretty cool. And I know the guys were out testing it at the weekend. The one Jen was playing with it, and she was like, I chose to hit driver instead of 3-wood. The rest of my group hit 3-wood. I used the data to do that. And you're like, okay,
really?
That's a cool piece of feedback.
Well, I'm just trying to think of, like, and I'm obsessed with the idea of prepping your round. I love the concept of that. I played this past weekend on a course I've never played before, and fortunately they had the on-course GPS, and I primarily use rangefinders, so this is not something I usually have, but as soon as I get that on-course GPS, the first thing that I do when I get to a tee box is I hit a certain point in the fairway that shows me how far it is and what's left of the hole.
Yeah.
I always do that. I think anyone who cares at all about course is going to see what it takes to get to a wedge or what it takes to get to a certain iron. And it sounds to me like as we continue to develop this, the benefits of having that information there, especially before you get to your round, is going to be massive for golfers who go to a place they have never played.
Well, that's it. And it helps everything, right? You enjoy the game a little bit more. You enjoy the experience of that course that you haven't played. You play a little bit better. You play a little bit quicker. It's positive everywhere. So I'll be fascinated. We released my strategy in November. So we've had some really positive feedback on it, but it's not when we're doing all of our rounds, right? We can do 25,000, 30,000 rounds in a day in the summer. So I'll be fascinated when we hit April and guys are out using this or traveling and we start to get even more responses and ideas of how to improve it and what they're gaining from it.
Okay. I need to press a little bit on products because we've been 32 minutes of you blowing my mind with all these new concepts. We really need to chat about the Pro ZR. We've seen a little bit from James on the THP forum, but I'd love to hear from your perspective what's new there and why people should be excited about it.
Yeah, so ZR, we like to make things difficult for ourselves. So you're like, hey, how can we make this really robust? It's got a metal shell inside that protects everything. And down at the PGA show, I'm running over it with a golf cart. I've been throwing it out of our office building onto concrete, trying to find out ways that I can really make it shatter. I haven't found a way. I am thinking about driving over it in my car, but I'm like,
not sure the car would survive at this point.
Well, I'm worried about the tires. So
yeah.
So that's one side, is that kind of look and feel. And then that second side is internally, it's as quick a rangefinder as we've produced. And it's as consistent a rangefinder as we've produced. And a lot of that comes from our guys were experts in building PCBs, building components, making watches work. And I was in Kansas at a retailer. And the guy's like, I love the watches. What else do you do? And I went, wow, it's a long way to come to say nothing. So I was like, well, we need to expand, guys. So we've had to learn rangefinders. The LX is really good. Again, the first version didn't have a magnet. That was a mistake, but you don't play in carts here, so we didn't see the real benefit of it. The L2 is a juggernaut. It's a phenomenal piece of kit. And then the ZR is kind of, well, look, let's let our guys go and play and see what we can do in terms of look and feel and also the internals, right? How consistent can we make it? We've learned more and more about firing and quality of laser. And yeah, it's a really impressive piece.
So I think the, I suppose it's not really a smell test, but the feel test on a rangefinder is typically twofold. Does it have a sort of weight to it that makes it feel premium? And if I push the button, just exactly how fast can I get anything to pop up on the rangefinder? Those are like the very first two things that I think most golfers look for when they put a product like that in their hands. And then the third being now everyone's obsessed with having a magnet. I call that the lose a rangefinder 6.0 because I have to remind my buddies every time we play to take their rangefinders off the side of the cart. But
two PGA shows ago, I had the L2, the sample L2 we had.
Yeah.
And I was sitting at dinner. I'm like, oh no, I need to go back to the golf course.
unbelievably guilty. But anyways, hearing that it does have metal casing, I assuming that means it does have some nice weight to it, which is curious that people would want something a little heavier. But I think that showcases quality.
It does, and it's slightly more accurate when it's, you know, there's a bit of a misnomer within rangefinders that the more zoom you have, the easier it is to hit something. It's not actually true. It's actually more fiddly.
Mm.
And same with weight. If it's not, if it doesn't weigh that much, it becomes more fiddly. Your arm shakes.
Mm.
It's easier to move around. So that's something that, again, you know, between the L1, and I think the L1 was like 150 grams. The L2 is like 210. The ZR, I think, is like 245.
Okay.
And you're probably about where you want to be.
That's great.
So don't quote me on those numbers. I could be...
Well...
It's rough.
Yeah. We're talking US dollars here, Gav. Stop worrying about Australian, okay? I think it's fascinating. And there are options out there, which is great. I totally lost my train of thought. You got me on the price point. That's what it was. I was going to say the price point itself is at $299, I believe, US.
Yeah.
For the ZR or ZR. I love this Queen's English talk. So to me, that says it's a good product at a great price. Why $299?
I mean, I think we're probably sitting there in the market going, look, we think we can build products of great value at good pricing. Mm. And I mean, we could charge $399. But in reality, a lot of this for us is growth. So you're like, let's make it ultra competitive. And we did that with the L2. There's no way the L2 should be 149. But that is the single reason why we will never need to do a subscription anywhere. Because you're like, it's just incredible.
Hmm.
And you go, well, but it's incredible because we can use the rangefinder, bring somebody into the ecosystem, show them a bit of data, show them why, educate them a little bit how they can play better golf, and they go, well, actually, you know what, I'd like to have a go at that. So, you know, I think we price ourselves competitively. We lose out at holiday season, don't get me wrong. We can't do $100 off the product, so that's where we lose out. But I like to think that when somebody's buying a ShotScope product, they're getting good value, but they're getting great product.
Okay. And then I believe there's a new product coming that we saw a little bit at the PGA show called the V5, not to be confused with the X5, right?
Yes. So the V5 is effectively the respin of the V3. So the V3 is our best-selling product by far. So X5 is our premium watch. V5 slips in between G5 and X5. So it's not got touchscreen. It's got buttons. It's got full course maps. It's got the ability to change the color on the screen. So you can have pink if you want, blue, white, green. It's a little bit sportier. Has a plastic bezel where the X5 has a ceramic. But again, it's it's just going to complement the system. And to be honest, the V5 will be the easiest way for anybody to track their game of golf with ShotScope. So the buttons for pin collect is so simple. You know where they are. You can just click. You don't even have to think about it. So really excited about that. And that goes live April 3rd.
Okay. Any reason why you said pink face first when you looked at me? Is there?
No. I was trying to gather, and as what happens in ShotScope and product development, I win some and I lose some. So yeah. We didn't do red, we did pink. And okay. I played around with it on pink, and yeah, I had no problems.
Yeah, okay. So hopefully the hot pink. I think it's pretty popular. Real bright hot pink. That's certainly what I would go with, Gav. Thanks for that. Certainly no one will comment on that either. It's perfect. So data experience, we got to talk about that a little bit. Early May, you guys are at Hidden Creek. You pumped up for that?
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's I've been fortunate to play golf all around the world, all over the US. Personally, it's great to go to different venues and play some good golf. And you know, Jen and I, we're secretly very competitive. It probably comes out more on Jen's side than maybe my side, but I can get her pretty triggered at times.
Okay.
And then we have great fun with the guys. And I like the setup. I like the way we get to spend some quality time with different golfers, ShotScope users. It's a bit different this year. Everybody's a current user, so there's a lot of data kicking about. But last year we did a sort of fireside chat on one of the nights, and I surprised them by saying, look, we need some help with look and feel of product. And that's where a lot of the ZR stuff came from.
Mm.
So, you know, it's fantastic feedback from the guys. I've sent them all a unit to say thanks. So no doubt they'll be shouting about that on Hackers Paradise. Hopefully good things. but, you know, we enjoy the interaction, right? And it's great to have the feedback and what you want to do. And then it's great to just be able to go and play a couple of rounds of golf as well.
Yeah, not too bad of a course to do that for sure. I know the participants have been selected. The issue I have, Gav, is two local boys are on Team Gen this year.
Are they?
For me. So I'm not sure I can root for you, man. That's hard.
So I sit with a unique skill set. I can build people up really well and help them, and I can cut them down incredibly quickly. So what hurts Jen massively is when we play together as a team the first day, and then we switch and I get to play with her team, and she's all positive. I'm like, well, that wasn't good enough, guys. you can construct it. So I think it'll be fascinating. And I mean, Jen's a quality golfer. And my golf is getting worse year on year, and hers is probably getting better. So she wants more and more opportunity to impact the final result. So we'll see, but try and help the guys as quickly as possible and make some good decisions and lower their scores.
Yeah. Well, I'm super excited to follow along. It's a beautiful golf course. And the story on data experience is always super fun because it carries over past the event.
Yeah,
not the traditional reviews we get at a lot of our experiences, but something a little bit more unique where you go in depth on the guys, and I know they're incredibly appreciative of that as well. So I assume that's going to carry over this year.
Yeah, absolutely, and we really enjoy that, right? Because it's an opportunity for us to show the wider Hackers Paradise. Here's what you get, but it's also an opportunity to marry up what we're seeing in data, having played with the guys for 36 holes, watched them on the range. And, you know, the guys from last year, I think they all come away feeling like they're a better golfer than when they started. But it's not rocket science stuff. It's relatively straightforward improvements, right? And so, yeah, I've got to say, I'm on it, Josh, every year. I'm like, okay, when are we going? I'm going to get some flights booked. I'm going to work it out. And, you know, it's great for me. I can build a bit of a trip around it, go to a few different places. But I'm like, oh, yeah, it's probably the best week. If my wife doesn't hear this, probably the best weekend of the year.
Golf. Yeah, I don't suspect she's an avid listener, so you're probably okay.
That's right.
Well, I can't wait to follow along with that. Do you have any final thoughts or questions for me?
How's your game? Obviously, you're in the middle of winter, but
yeah, it's better than I deserve, Gab. You came in here talking about five off the tee, and I played the last two or three rounds. It's been the best I've played in probably a year, and it's disgusting because I don't play right now. You know?
Yeah. So, okay.
So not bad. Yeah, the driver's coming back into form a little bit, but these utility irons, man, they're a life changer.
Yeah, it's amazing how technology has moved on,
right?
And it can really affect and help. But no, it's interesting. Well, look, hopefully we're going to get you collecting some data. I can always send Jen to Ohio. She'll sort of kick you around the golf course and make you do it.
Yeah, I mean, she comes. Well, I don't want to get beat up too badly. So that, yeah, it's enticing, but it's also terrifying, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, at very least, hopefully you can gain something out of the sort of analysis of the other guys, and it quite makes you think a little bit, right?
Yeah, for sure. Anything for the THPers listening in? Check out Data Experience?
Yeah, just, you know, keep asking the questions in the forum. Jen and I love to pop in. Never think that, hey, including us in a question or a thread is a problem. You know, we get the emails. We like to come on and voice our opinion. I wish I had more time to get involved in other things in the forum. There's some fascinating conversations.
some ugly ones too, but that's
yeah, there are some ugly ones. But yeah, I sit there and I'm like, oh, I could write a pretty good spiel on that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, so. But no, look, just keep following on, keep asking questions. You know, we're here to help, you know, whether you're a ShotScope user or not. We enjoy being part of the community. We really do. And it's something we talk about quite a lot in the company, in the office. So yeah, appreciate everything.
Part of the reason why I love having folks like you on, Gav, is because there is such a direct connection to THPers. It's not uncommon in the industry, but it's the partnerships we do have, people like you and Jen, who are willing to take your time out of the day to see what THPers are saying and feel the perspective that comes out of our community is so critical and awesome that you guys do that. So please, everyone who's listening in, if you're not a part of the THP forums, you will see Gav, you will see Jen on there talking about golf, talking about other people's golf, mostly joking around about not changing driver for 6 or 7 decades.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot to gain from being connected to them. So either way, there's an experience coming up in May that'll be incredibly fun to follow. Like I said, I might be leaning Team Jen, but we'll see if Gav sweet talks me before then. So
if I get some short game practice in and get the guys into a bit of a boot camp on the first night, we'll see.
There it is. Well, hey, thanks, Gab. I appreciate you. And if you folks are out there playing golf this weekend, have a great time. Collect some data if you're not terrified of it like me. And use some rangefinders. Make golf a little bit more precise. And check out ShotScope if you are looking for a new product. We'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network. Your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.